You're listening to DottoTech, helping you get the most out of your technology wherever you use it, at home, at school, or at work. Brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. 20 years, the trusted voice of technology in Canada, Steve Dotto.
Hello and welcome to Dotto Tech. I am Steve Dotto, and I am very glad you're joining us this fine November evening. How are you, Art Factora?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you, Steve?
I'm good. Thank you for, I'll preempt you. Thank you for sending me the birthday greetings this weekend. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You did get the, you never responded to my text.
I'm doing it right now. I'm doing it in public.
Okay.
I'm sharing my gratitude with you wishing me a happy birthday to the entire radio sphere.
Well, I wasn't sure if you were being sarcastic. So.
No, I appreciated it.
How was the birthday?
It was a difficult birthday for me to come to terms with.
Because you're 60 now?
I'm not 60 now.
Oh, 55.
I'm 55 now.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought all the zeros, because when I turned 30, I was like, oh, I guess adolescence is done.
There are certain places that will give me discounts because of my age now.
Yes. Especially if you go to the States, 55, that's the blue plate special.
And there was this, as I grew up, there was this whole program that one financial institution had. I think they still have it. It's called Freedom 55.
How close are you to freedom?
I'm in bondage 55.
Oh. Okay.
I am not anywhere. I'm probably farther from freedom today than I was when I was 35.
You're like shackled 55.
Yeah, I'm trapped in, yeah. But.
But you do what you love.
I'm alive at 55.
And you are surrounded by people you love. You do what you love.
I remember I used to do a weekly feature on a competing radio station, which shall not be named. And there was a fairly well-known host of that show that I would be on. Well, Bill Good. Okay. And it was Bill's 55th birthday. I remember I was on his birthday. And I said, what's it like turning 55? He says, I'm just glad that I get the opportunity to turn 55. So that's a good way to look at things.
Absolutely. See, there's, yeah. You know, there's always a bright side.
There is a bright side. There's lots of bright sides. We got a great show lined up today. We got an awesome show lined up today. We got a huge celebrity guest.
Who?
I'm not sure everybody in
George
our,
Clooney. George Clooney.
Bigger.
Bigger than George Clooney.
Bigger, in my world, bigger than George Clooney.
Well, because he doesn't follow Twitter. That's why he's not on Twitter.
Yeah, Michael Stelzner is coming on the show in a little bit. And Michael Stelzner is the founder of the Social Media Examiner, which is the go-to website for all things social media related. Like all the social media geeks love Social Media Examiner. Michael Stelzner is the founder of it. He's got his own podcast. We're not going to be talking to him about that at all. We're going to be talking about other stuff.
But like movie reviews and hockey scores?
We'll be talking hockey with Michael Stelzner. That's exactly right. That's exactly what we're going to do. No, we're going to be talking some interesting and compelling stuff. We're going to talk about a website that he started, which helps parents decide what to do with their kids. It's like a cheat sheet for parents. Ideas of things to do with your kids. You're going to love this because you have nephews and nieces, right?
I do.
And when Uncle Art comes over, if you've
favorite, it's actually Favorite Uncle Art.
Favorite Uncle Art.
Yeah.
When Favorite Uncle Art comes over, you can earn great points by just doing a little bit of research, deciding on these wonderful activities. And it's like you're like a kid savant. You can figure out all sorts of things to do with the kids beforehand, have it all pre-planned. And it's low-hanging fruit. It's easy stuff to do, but we just don't think about it because we're not in the headspace because we're so busy leading life. But I don't want to steal all of Michael's thunder. But that's what we're going to be talking about in a few minutes with Michael.
You could always just bring candy to your brother and sister's house for the
kids.
But
you don't work for the candy guys anymore.
I don't, but I do have some disposable income.
You have disposable income once in a while. Well, that's good.
To buy candy for these kids.
That's because you're aiming for Freedom 55. You've got to take that and you've got to hide it somewhere so you don't spend it. That's what you have to do. You have to do the David Chilton wealthy barber pay yourself thing first or something. I don't know.
But well, my...
Art, don't turn into me.
Currently, my retirement plan is hoping that one of these nieces or nephews loves me so much they'll take me in.
I think that your retirement plan is you're going to be like a massive star on... and you're going to be discovered on Just for Laughs. I have a good feeling about that.
Well, I showcased for them yesterday, so fingers crossed that,
Did you kill it?
I always kill it. Come on, are you killing? You're kidding.
Is that what the cool comedians say when you come off stage? Did you kill it? Is that still a sort of thing that you'd say?
If you happen to overhear comedians talking and they use the words kill, bomb, or destroy, So bombing is bad. Nobody wants to bomb.
No.
Killing sounds exactly the same, but killing is the opposite. Killing is good.
Yeah.
And destroying is
more
like
good.
Killing it, yes. That
it's like
much
killing
more.
It and,
then,
and
so,
bombing it.
Yeah. Well, no. There's no bombing in destroying.
You can't
you're,
do the
bombing. You're just killing everybody.
I think we should tell people what the rest of the show is today. We also have Jay Cormier coming on the show, and Jay is going to be talking to us because over the next 2 weeks, two huge launches are happening in the gaming world. The PS4.
Four.
And Xbox One. We've already had two Xboxes, but the new one is called the Xbox One. Microsoft is the company that has the worst naming conventions on the planet. One of the worst. There's been the high-tech world itself has bad naming. I can always remember when Compaq launched the Armada. It was a computer that they launched. In Compaq, in Dallas, Texas, they're sitting around a board table, and some marketing beanhead says, I got a great idea for the name of our new notebook. Let's call it the Armada. And not one person at that table said, it sunk and Spain was never the same. I mean, why do you name a product after something that was basically undermined an entire huge nation? It stopped it in its tracks.
Well, perhaps their research and development department.
Maybe
was
their
off
history.
Down
in Texas, they don't study a lot of history. At any rate, Microsoft, second only to that, Microsoft called for a while everything in the world the Explorer. They had Internet Explorer. They called their browser the Explorer. They had the Intellimos Explorer. They had an Explorer keyboard. They had more Explorers than you could. It's just like, oh, we got this name on special. We have to use it all the time.
It's branding.
It's worse than branding. So we're gonna have Jay on, and then we're gonna be talking with Maury McLaughlin from London Drugs. And London Drugs has a really interesting recycling story. Now, you might not think recycling story is going to be interesting. Trust me, this is going to be an interesting story. So we've got a great show lined up. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back with Michael Stelzner.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better.
Question for Dottotech?
Visit our website at dottotech.com and click on Contact Us. Dottotech is brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Now, back to Steve.
Joining me online now from beautiful San Diego is Michael Stelzner. Now, if the name Michael Stelzner is familiar to you, it's probably because you're in the social media space. He's a bit of a rock star in social media. His website, The Social Media Examiner, is go-to content for anybody involved in social media. And I know it's something that I've followed long and ardently. But we're not going to be talking about social media today with Michael. No, no, no. Instead, we're going to be talking about a pet project of his called My Kids Adventures. Michael, it's a real pleasure for me to have you on the show.
Hey, Steve, it's my absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's great. Now, you're embedded and buried in the social media space, working your tail off. But at home, you have three daughters. And as a result of that, I don't know whether was it a fit of guilt with that when you suddenly looked one day and realized how quickly they were growing up that you said, I've got to do something to help people engage better with their kids?
Well, actually, it's a funny story. I was actually last summer at Disneyland in California, and I had realized, I asked myself, when was the last time I was here? And it was 7 years ago. And then I started doing the math, and I'm like, my youngest wasn't born, my middle was a newborn, and my oldest was like three. And I'm like, oh my gosh, where has the time gone? And I began to think about it, and I began to realize, I'd been so busy with my work, and even more recently, so distracted by my, Facebook, my smartphone, this always connected mentality. And I just found myself drawn in by my work and not by my family. And I just came to the realization that I needed to build something for myself and for other people that would empower, busy people that are completely out of ideas when they get home to do really fun activities with their kids in the house, in the backyard, or in the great outdoors. So that was the genesis of MyKidsAdventures.com.
So MyKidsAdventures.com is a website which gives parents ideas. It's kind of like a Cole's Notes for things you can do with your kids that aren't... The thing I like about it is we've looked at these sorts of sites in the past, but they're always relating to the community you live in, which is great.
But yours gives you ideas, just general ideas of adventures to have with your kids that you can do in any community, anywhere in the world, really.
Yeah, I mean, just yesterday we published how to create a musical cup concert with your kids, you know, where you just take plastic cups and you bang them on the table and you make tunes. We did how to hide a geocache.
Yeah.
I know what a geocache is, but it's this cool thing where there's, you know, you go outside and you use your smartphone to locate things that are hidden, and they're mm-hmm. all over the world. And, you know, we're just like how to make slime with your kids, you know, scavenger hunts, just all this kind of stuff. A lot of it's retro, to be honest with you, Steve. They're things that we did when we were kids that are not necessarily done so much anymore. But the idea here is to get them involved with mom and dad rather than just simply to have them be entertained. Because I feel personally that, you know, when our kids are older, and your kids, I'm sure, are all grown up by now, but when my kids are older, you know, they're going to remember these fun activities that they did with mom and dad more than they are that we got them a smartphone.
And here's the thing that I like about the site and having looked through it. And I'm looking at your top post today, which is ways to break your kids free from electronics and get outside, which is, I think, a major issue for a lot of parents. But the thing that I like about it is you take away the guilt. You know, when you come home from work and you're tired, you've just poured yourself into your job. Having the imagination to come up with adventures and ideas is a challenge, but by putting them down in simple posts with a couple of directions just to kind of spark the ideas, that's, I think, the thing that is maybe a little bit of genius in your site, removes the responsibility for me to come up with these ideas for myself, but they're still going to be great adventures.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think enabling is probably a good word for what you're talking about here, because we're enabling people like me who really deep down want to spend quality time with their kids, and they don't want to live out that cats in a cradle song. You know the one I'm talking about,
yes.
Right?
Yep.
They do not want that story to be their story. And I think most parents don't want to have their children slip out from underneath them and then realize it's too late, because I think that there comes an age with kids, typically, you know, teenagers, where at that point it's kind of hard to get them back. But I think that magic age between like 5 and 12, let's say, is when kids really want, they have a sense of adventure. They want to explore. They want to learn. They want to do fun stuff like an indoor camping trip or science projects. Like, for example, how cool is it? We've got an article about how to walk on eggs without breaking them. So we've got this raw eggshells, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or, you know, just all that kind of stuff. Edible DNA is another one, you know, fun twist on science your kids can swallow. So there's just all that kind of stuff that, I mean, bottom line is we just need ideas. And this site is completely free. There's no advertising. And we just lay it all out there so that anybody can go there and just do this with their kids. And we're new. We've only been out for about 4 months, but people are loving it.
So where do you go for your ideas?
You know, it's kind of intriguing. People that are creative, when they see something like this come out of the woodwork and want to contribute. And, you know, Steve, we saw the exact same thing happen when we launched Social Media Examiner. What I've discovered is that when you set a bar really high and create a really, really strong editorial standard that people love, people that are really talented come out of the woodwork and they want to be part of it. And the way we started this was we went to our very large audience at Social Media Examiner. We have, gosh, over 800,000 people a month at Social Media Examiner that are consuming our content. And we just let the word out that, hey, we are developing a site for busy parents. And if you're creative type, let us know. And they came out of the woodwork. We got people that, you know, are comic strip people that, you know, came up with how to do stuff with comic strips, and musicians who want to do stuff, you know, with their kids. And just all these people that have these little skills have come out of the woodwork. And wanted to be part of it. Scientists, you know, who like Steve Spangler is one of our writers, who's a big time science guy here in the United States. And they just all wanted to be part of it because we're really creating a movement here. And I think so many people know that this is a problem, this digital addiction. You know, we struggle with it as adults. Our children struggle with it. I know in my house just the other night, I was yelling at my kids to get off the stupid game systems, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it's a felt need, and a lot of people wanted to be part of it.
Well, I think you've kind of caught a little bit of the magic in the fact that people with good ideas are willing to share them and willing to do the work if they know that they're going to be used. And you've already kind of hit the ground running by leveraging the Social Media Examiner to the point that these posts, I'm just looking at the social proof on them, and you know, you're getting lots of likes, you're getting lots of Facebook shares. So anybody who's going to provide some content for you has the feeling right away that there is going to be some engagement with their content, which is all that a content provider in this sort of space wants, is they want people using it. They want kids and families benefiting from the content. So I think you've, you know, hitting the ground running with a large... Oh, that would be my dog. But hitting the ground... That's right, yeah. Yeah, we've got a... Yeah, we're full of... I have four kids as well. My kids, as you say, are older, but I also have three daughters. So I know a lot of what you're going through. But hitting the ground running and doing those, you know, making sure that the content is being shared and being used has to be a real selling point to the content providers.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, you know, there are a lot of people out there that are writing, you know, blogs, thousands and thousands of bloggers out there that are writing things, but many of them are commercial based and many of them are because they're being sponsored by Company X or Company Y and there's an ulterior motive. This is just basically bankrolled by Social Media Examiner, and we just, you know, have some very basic criteria. It's got to be really good content. It's got to be fun. And there's no commercial aspect to it at all. And that's what's really cool about it. It's just completely self-contained ideas. And it's hard work, I'll be honest with you. I mean, we're only publishing three times a week, and I've got an entire team behind the scenes, an editorial team that goes, what I, you know, does a beautification process on this content. But in the end, we don't publish anything unless it's really, really good. And it's exciting. We've had almost 100,000 people, Steve, visit the site since we launched on July 15th.
Wow. That's awesome. That's awesome. Now, are you finding that kids are finding the site and directing their parents at it, or is it the parents themselves that are finding the content?
It's actually grandparents and parents. Oh. So, which is what we're targeting. We're trying to, you know, primarily our primary target is the working professional who doesn't have a lot of time and knows that he or she needs to spend quality time with the kids and mm-hmm. do fun stuff and just doesn't know where to start. There's plenty of stay-at-home moms, you know, and some stay-at-home dads that are also finding the site. But surprisingly, and we kind of did expect this, grandparents are starting to embrace this too, because so many grandparents have younger kids, you know, and maybe they didn't do it right with their kids, but they want to do fun stuff with their grandkids. A lot of people are using these ideas for birthday parties too.
Oh, good idea, yeah.
You know, so that we're starting to see all sorts of interesting little subgroups emerging that are using some of these ideas. And it's kind of exciting to see a lot of schools, a lot of people working at schools are starting to use some of these things in their schools to teach, you know, certain kinds of things that might be science related or craft related or, you know, activities related. So it's pretty exciting to see what's happening.
Well, you've got to be really feeling that your labors are serving a great purpose in putting mykidsadventures.com out there and making it available. If people are interested in producing content for you and they've got a great idea of an activity, how do they submit it?
It's as easy as visiting mykidsadventures.com and clicking on the link at the top that says write for us.
Okay.
And we're currently finalizing our Christmas editorial calendar, but then we're going to be starting into January. So we're looking for winter related activities at this point, and even as far ahead as Valentine's Day. So if there's cool stuff that you've done in your family traditionally, or you're doing with your kids now, you know, we're looking for really great ideas, and it's just really exciting to see the kinds of things that are coming in. It's mind boggling to say the least. I would encourage everyone. We're really looking for great writers. And we're looking for people that can convey their ideas, you know, so that others can look at it and immediately grasp it. And it's obviously helpful if you've got kids and you can take pictures of your kids doing some of these kinds of activities.
The site is mykidsadventures.com. We will, of course, have a link on our website. Michael Stelzner is my guest. Michael, now that you're into the Dottotech family, we're not gonna forget about you, because I want you to come back and talk about Social Media Examiner and a lot of the different social media related stuff that you folks are involved in. But this is a great introduction to you and your brand. So I thank you, and on behalf of all the parents up here in Canada, thanks a lot. You're probably going to make us look a lot better.
Thank you for having me, Steve. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. That's Michael Stelzner. The site, again, is mykidsadventures.com. You're tuned in to Dottotech. We'll be back in just a few moments.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.
Okay, here is the backstory to this particular guest. I've got Maury McLaughlin on with me, and he is the retail operations administrator with London Drugs. Maury, thanks for coming in. And here is my story. My dog is sick. He's been pooping all over the carpet. So I had to get a new green machine because my old green machine broke down. The little, you know, spot cleaner?
Yep, absolutely.
So I was in at your fine establishment this weekend purchasing a brand new spot cleaner. And brought it home, unpacked it, cleaned up the mess, and then my partner says, what are you going to do with the box? I said, I'm taking it back to London Drugs. She goes, you are? I said, don't you know what we do with this stuff now? And she goes, no. And I am amazed with the number of people who don't know that they should be taking back all of their packaging, all of that styrofoam, all of that crap back to you guys so that you can dispose of it in an environmentally responsible way. This is a huge initiative with London Drugs. And I don't believe the general public knows about it yet.
You know, that's probably our best kept secret, and we keep trying to find better ways to do it and to tell the story. And social media seems to be the best way we've been able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
We've tried a couple things of doing ad campaigns, and we actually did a TV spot, or not a TV, but a radio spot in Victoria, and we just tried to test and see the market, and we were able to recycle a lot. But it didn't do a lot for our sales.
Mm. Yeah, well, that's the problem. I mean,
when you promote green, yeah, you know, it's a nice to do.
Yeah.
But it didn't help the bottom line or the business. So
yeah.
We need to be in business to do it.
Well, that's the thing. And I mean, I guess that's the reason that more people don't know about it is it's tough for you to be out there in front marketing this. But that's a perfect vehicle for a show like ours to do is to talk about it, to get people thinking about it. Because there are so many things. There's so many things that you pick up and you go, what do I do with this? And
absolutely. And that's my job is to find out what to do with that.
Yeah.
And we've been very successful on it. And we've added, our goal is to be able to recycle everything we sell.
Mm-hmm.
So somewhere along the line in the next few years, we want to be able to, whatever we sell, you'll be able to bring it back to us and we'll have a recycling process for it.
For everything that you sell, not just the packaging, but including the end of life cycle.
End of life cycle for the product.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, and we're getting very close to that because right now anything with a battery or a cord, anything electronic can be recycled really easily.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that's paper or plastic or styrofoam, we have a recycling process for it. For medications or items like that or needles from diabetics, we've got a process for taking care of that product sustainably.
Wow.
As well.
Okay.
Now, it's not the greatest form, so instead of putting it in a landfill or putting outdated medications in the landfill like a lot of people do, we do send it to waste energy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the greatest, but it's the only option available right now, so it stays out of the landfill and keeps the rest of the country healthy.
Well, let's work our way back to what the consumer should be doing and talk a little bit, because I was up at your conference in Whistler a couple of weeks ago. You were there as well.
I was.
And you guys, at one of the meals, you guys told your recycling story. And I was able to listen to about half of the video. But the thing that impressed me was you talked about practicing what you preach and the fact that in your stores, you used to, now correct me if I'm wrong, but you used to average about 3 bins per store per week of waste.
Absolutely.
Am I correct?
Absolutely. Yeah, actually, it was 4 garbage bins, those big green bins at the back of stores.
Yeah.
We used to get 4 of those picked up a week.
For each store?
For each store.
That's a lot of
trash.
That's
a lot of garbage. Everything, well, up 8 years ago, everything went in the garbage.
Yeah.
We didn't recycle hardly anything.
Okay.
And now we're down to 1 bin pickup every 15 days.
So it's a half a bin a week.
Yeah.
Or less, actually.
Or less. And I've got 2 stores now that literally throw out a garbage bag a week. They don't have a garbage bin. They just, one little brown paper bag of garbage goes out a week.
Oh, wow.
So, you work at it and you work at it and it can be done.
So is it now people's responsibility in the store? Is it individuals' responsibility that are kind of doing all of the sorting and doing all the organizing? Or are you managing to train your whole staff to participate?
We're working on training the whole staff. We've got, we started right in our orientation. We talk about our sustainability programs. We talk about our recycling programs and how important it is to us. And we just want to help people do the right thing. And by doing that, we've got a full station in the back of our stores where people can just drop off the materials, either a paper, plastic, hard plastic, soft plastic, styrofoam, electronics. And we've got it all separated. So it all gets done when they handle it.
So we just look for the back of the store. Because I've never noticed exactly where I'm supposed to bring all of this recycling stuff.
Well, for a customer, you just bring it up to our customer service desk and then we'll take care of it from there. Now, some of our newer stores, if you walk into some of our newer stores, you'll actually see a recycling center right front and center. Now, you just came from Ladner. If you walked into our Ladner store, right as soon as you walk in the door, you'll see a recycling center where you can put your light bulbs, your electronics, your batteries, your pop bottles, everything right when you walk in the front of the store.
My eyes must just not have gravitated towards that. Have you camouflaged it?
Well, it maybe. It does look like our front counter when you walk in, but we do have the Green Deal logo, and we do definitely have a big recycling center right on top of it.
So let's kind of go through then. Let's back it up. And let's bring it up to the consumer now. So we have, in all the municipalities, there is different levels of recycling that is available, depending on what municipality you're in. Is there any environmental advantage to bringing stuff to you rather than using a municipality's recycling program, or are they pretty much the same? Are they going to the same place for the same type of product?
A little bit different. When you bring products to us, usually it's a clean material, so it's really easy to recycle.
Okay.
When you put it in the blue box, sometimes you've got dirty soup cans and everything, so it gets to be a little messier product.
Okay.
So, but that's really the only difference. The other big one is styrofoam. You can't put in your blue box or your blue bin. But if you buy a product that's got styrofoam from Lennon Drugs, we do have a partner, Genesis or Sims Recycling in Langley, that actually condenses it. And we ship it off. It's gone down to Oregon where it's been turned into crown molding. We've also sent it over to China where it's been turned into garden furniture and gnomes and different things like that. So, you know, there is a process in place for it.
And that's one of the big ones, isn't it? Styrofoam, because people will still, after Christmas or after holidays, be tossing bags full of styrofoam into the garbage, and that just goes in the landfill. And that's
absolutely
why don't the municipalities have a program? Is it hard to recycle?
It's been a hard material to recycle, and trying to find an end market for it has probably been the hardest part. We've been working at this for over 4 years, so we've got a little bit of head start from most people. But that's been probably the hardest part, is just finding somebody that can take it and put it into their product and turn it into something else.
Now, the other thing is developing the discipline as a consumer for those small, easy-to-toss-out things. Now, I'm thinking light bulbs. And some of those are fairly harmful, especially when we start getting into batteries.
Absolutely. Batteries have a lot of nasty chemicals in them. So that'll make the water, that just gets into everything. It's nasty. So keeping the batteries out, keeping the compact fluorescent light bulbs out. Now, there's not a lot of mercury in the new compact fluorescents, but there's enough there that over time you get a lot of bulbs in there and you'll have mercury lying around. So
it's just getting into a slightly different routine as a consumer, just putting them into a holding place, just like remembering to bring your recycled bags when you grocery shop. You
absolutely. And you're going to see that more and more, and that's where Lennon Drugs our thought was, too, is you've got to make it convenient. You've got to make it easy for customers. So if you're coming in shopping, bring your stuff back to us. And that's why we wanted to be able to recycle everything we sell. So if you're coming back and you got a widget or whatever, you want to buy another one, bring the old one back. We'll take care of it for you.
Now, are you working with, is it ESABC, the electronics recycling program?
Yeah, actually, we're working with all the stewardship programs. The ESABC ones, which is actually the electronics product stewardship now. We're also working with the light recyclers, and we work with bottle recycling as well. So we work with them all.
In the electronics side, is any of it repurposed rather than recycled, or is it all completely recycled?
If you just put it into a recycling stream, it ends up being recycled. But we work with Free Geek and Computers for Schools. So if somebody comes in and they've got the laptop and it's not quite working the way they want, or it's too slow, and they decide they want to buy a new one, well, the computer's still working. So we'll actually send that off to Free Geek for them.
Okay, that's great, because there are those two programs that do a good job. Computers for Schools and Free Geek down on, was it West 3rd or West 4th? They do a good job of, they convert them all into Linux computers. They've got a fairly interesting program. We actually covered them on the show a few years back.
Yes.
And the other one is the pharmaceuticals.
Yeah, pharmaceuticals, there's no real end of life for them. Once they come in, they're outdated, they've got to go to incineration. We don't want that in the landfill or into the water stream whatsoever. So,
and that's one of the things, you know, my parents' old program of flushing it down the toilet
that's
is really not good for us.
Got some happy salmon.
And then we eat the happy salmon.
Yes,
and
we
all
do.
All of a sudden, we have this resistance to antibiotics. Where did that come from?
Exactly. So we definitely want those outdated medications back. We've got a program. You can bring in any of them from any pharmacy. Doesn't matter. Bring back any outdated medications to London Drugs. And same with your sharps and needles. Like, again, for diabetics, we go through a lot of needles. So we've got a program in place for that as well.
So if you think about all of these things, there should be very little that we should be very much like those stores of yours where we should be having a very small bag of garbage going out each week ourselves. I mean, basically the organics, which like my municipality in Delta, they've got the wet garbage that's separate. And I bought one of these big giant garbage bins when I first moved into this house, and I never fill it up anymore. It's so disappointing.
I know. Well, I live in Surrey, so we're doing the organics. And actually, with London Drugs, we introduced organics into all of our stores over a year ago for our lunchrooms and everything else. So realistically, once you're done, there's very little garbage that we produce as London Drugs. The garbage we get is usually what comes from the customers or what people bring into the stores.
Okay. Isn't that interesting? So right now you've got programs in place for almost everything I can think of, but your commitment is how long is it going to be until you're planning to be able to recycle anything that you sell?
Well, our goal is to recycle 95% of our materials, and that's by 2015, and we'll be there.
Yeah. Well, so, it sounds to me like we're already close. I'm hard pressed now to think of things that you aren't recycling. I guess cosmetics part of it?
Cosmetics are now part of it. We work with a company called TerraCycle. They're out of the East in Toronto, and they work with brigades. So we're able to recycle lipsticks, nail polishes, perfume bottles, all those kind of things from the health and beauty side as well with TerraCycle. We've also partnered up with Nestle's and TerraCycle and just doing little things like chocolate bar wrappers. You know, just little things here and there. You just work away at it. And just
keep nibbling away.
Yep.
Maureen McLaughlin is the Retail Operations Administrator at London Drugs. Do you guys have a part of your website dedicated to this if people are looking
Absolutely.
For more information?
Absolutely. Greendeal.ca, that's our website.
Greendeal.ca. Well, we will put a link to that. And I got to thank you very much for spending some time and coming with us and telling the recycling story. I think it is one which should be coming. It should be celebrated.
Absolutely.
On behalf of all of Western Canada, thank you, London Drugs. Awesome job.
Appreciate it. And thank you for letting us tell our story.
My pleasure. We're going to take a quick break and return with more of Dottotech in just a few seconds.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better. Dottotech. Visit our website at dottotech.com and click on Contact Us. Dottotech is brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Now, back to Steve.
Joining me online now is Jay Cormier. Now, Jay is my go-to guy when it comes to game stuff. Jay is, amongst other things, a game designer, but he also knows his console games. And it's a big week, couple of weeks coming up, Jay, with both Sony and Microsoft launching new versions of their console.
This is exciting time to be a 30 or 40 something year old person. Because I mean, we all grew up with video games when we were younger, and now we're older, and we have maybe disposable income that we can afford these
games, because they are not they are not cheap. These new consoles.
No. The Sony is coming in at $399, and the Xbox One is coming in at $499. But the difference there, of course, is you're getting the Kinect, the eye kind of movement camera that comes built in with it.
Yeah, Sony. Microsoft is throwing the whole kitchen sink into the Xbox. But I guess the PlayStation 4 is out a week before, so let's talk about it first.
Yeah.
So what are we going to be looking for when the PlayStation 4 hits?
Well, I mean, obviously it's got all the better specs. I'm not going to dump all the specs on you guys, but it's definitely getting pretty exciting with regards to pre-orders. It's kind of winning the pre-order race that had about 725,000 North America pre-ordered as of last week, compared to the 525,000 for the Xbox One. So that's pretty exciting. But it's just going to be a bigger, better, awesome kind of a machine than before, with a funky new controller that's got a touch panel on the actual controller, which games can or cannot take advantage of if they want to. That's pretty exciting. It's going to have the Blu-ray just like before.
So one of the things that Sony is trying to do is they're trying to eliminate the second screen by providing the second screen. Is that the whole idea there?
Well, they do have something called Remote Play, and if you also own the PlayStation Vita, their portable gaming machine, mm-hmm. there's a lot of games that you can do Remote Play, which means you can play your Battlefield 4 on your PS Vita, which is ridiculous because it's not sold as a PS Vita game. It's sold as a PlayStation 4 game, and then as long as you're within distance and in range of your Wi-Fi, you can play your Battlefield 4 and many other games Remote Play.
Now, is there going to be issues? I've heard a lot of people talking about the licensing issues around all of these new games. Are people going to be frustrated by the fact that they've got one device and they think they can play the game on two devices and they're going to have to buy two licenses, or they're confused about what they're allowed to do? Or have they made it pretty clear and straightforward as far as how all the licensing works?
I would say yes and no. I would say with regards to within one ecosystem, within the Sony ecosystem, you're going to be fine. Like if you'll buy a PS3 version of Call of Duty Ghosts, you can get the PlayStation 4 version when it comes out for a nominal fee as opposed to rebuying the entire game again. Mm-hmm. But you still won't be able to play PlayStation 4 Ghosts, Call of Duty Ghosts with Xbox One Call of Duty Ghosts. So okay. That's still not going to happen.
So they're not going to cross pollinate. And there's been a lot of chatter about the reselling of games downstream. They've really curtailed that process, haven't they?
They really tried. Xbox, when it first announced back in E3, Electronic Entertainment Expo, they came out with this thing where you like pretty much said, yeah, you can't resell a game, and it was crazy. And then PlayStation came out and said, yeah, you can resell our games, we're fine with that. And so now Microsoft had to backpedal and allow it. So now it's not a big deal. Now you can resell.
So is there a kind of a global arcing philosophy behind either of these game systems? Like, is the PlayStation kind of old school console game and the Xbox is new school collaborative gaming? Or can we kind of throw broad strokes that way at these new consoles?
Well, for sure with the Xbox, they are trying to own the living room.
Yeah.
And analysts are even predicting already that they're going to dominate and be a very hard contender for things like Apple TV. So it's not just video games, but they want to own your TV. So much so that the Xbox One not only has HDMI out, it has an HDMI in. Why? Because you can connect your satellite or your TV cable box into it, so that the TV flows through your Xbox into your TV, for the reason that you can now control it using the Kinect. You can talk to your video game console and say, TV, Xbox, TV on, and it'll come on.
And I think that Microsoft has, they could have caught magic in a bottle here. They're not marketing it this way, though. I mean, they're coming out talking to gamers, people who are going to buy their system anyways. And I go crazy. I look at it and say, because when I've the demos that I've seen of it, it is the awesome heart of the digital home. You know, yeah. As far as your living room. I mean, the ability to get rid of all of your remote controls and just be able to talk to your system. To be able to, and they've got instant switching, so you can have the game, and there's no more selecting HDMI 1, HDMI 2, Composite 2. It's intelligent switching. Yeah. If what they're saying is to be believed, which I think is probably going to pan out. So there's no more of that, those huge issues that we have where one person understands the home entertainment system and they're constantly coming in and setting up the different devices so that you can watch a DVD or can watch Netflix. It should be the one piece that sits right at the heart of everything.
I think so. When they first launched in E3, that's all they talked about was TV integration. Yeah. And it was actually a failure, because who watches and who cares about E3? Gamers. So they did a lot of backpedaling, and now all they talked about in the last 2-3 months is games, games, games.
Yeah.
And they got the gamer heart back with games coming up like Titanfall, Dead Rising 3, Rise. All these games are coming out that are like, oh, that looks actually really good. So they're getting gamers excited. They just need to get people excited so they'll buy it, so that they'll start to experience all these benefits with the TV. And that'll be awesome.
And they're gonna have to sell that value big time, because at $500,
yeah, I know,
that is a steep sticker price.
I imagine that's gonna be their phase two of the phase one is just get gamers into it.
Well, that's the half million they got. That's the half million they got coming down the pipe. And you know what? I was just doing the math, and you take that, you take the 700,000 PS4 people. At is it PS4? It is PS4, right? Yeah, PS4 at $300 or $399, and you take $500 at $499, and there's not that much of a delta between Microsoft sales and Sony sales.
Not only that, but in every week, the Xbox pre-orders are becoming more and more. The delta between that and the PS4 is more.
Yeah.
So it's catching up. It's getting a lot of steam now, and I think I'm more excited for the Xbox, mostly because games. For me, I'm a gamer, so I just care about the games. I want great games, and the games on the Xbox right now seem amazing. When Infamous Second Son for the PlayStation 4 comes out in March next year, then I'm going to be really excited about the PlayStation 4. But Xbox, I'm pretty excited about. Rise looks really cool. Looks like a God of War game. Dead Rising 3, if you liked either of those zombie mashing games, looks really fun. And even some downloadable games like Crimson Dragon looks really fun.
I mean, you got to love the zombie games. The zombie yes. games are the best. The whole zombie thing. I just, every other apocalypse scenario I don't want to be around for, a zombie apocalypse, you kind of go, cool, I'd like to be there, right? That's the thing about zombie apocalypse stuff. Now, with the Xbox, though, and I feel the same way. I'm not very excited about the PS4, but the Xbox does interest me because I look at my home entertainment system. I go, yeah, it'd be great to have to get rid of the Apple TV. Not that I hate the Apple TV. It's a great box, but we use the Apple TV. I use it for two things. I use it for listening to podcasts, and I use it for Netflix. We don't use it for a lot else. And, you know, there is a configuration issue, always, you know, switching stuff around. Yeah. And the Xbox with Kinect is going to really overcome those things. So I think they've got more legs into the baby boomer marketplace.
And they're now installing the Blu-ray is now in there because currently an Xbox 360 does not have a Blu-ray. So that, I mean, they're just catching up with that one. But at least it's, again, makes it an all-in-one home entertainment kind of unit for you.
Do you think a lot of people are still staying on the Blu-ray bandwagon once they've had Netflix?
Well, I mean, some people still like to own the physical copies. I mean, you know, sales of DVDs, Blu-rays is still up there. I mean, obviously dwindling, but still up there.
Yeah, I guess I've kind of, you know, I'm past that. I'm past the physical media stage in my life. I've transcended into the online side.
Yeah, takes up a lot less space in storage.
So
physical.
When is this winner? Like, will they be able to declare a winner by Christmas?
Well, I'm sure they'll have stats to prove that they're both winners. You know, whatever the stats are as far as adoption or games sold or consoles or whatever it is, I it's going to be a long haul. I don't think it's going to be like, oh, this one wins and the other one's going to fade away. Like, I was talking to Sony just this week, and actually literally just today, and they're saying they have never had a launch in their history of Sony that's as big as the PlayStation 4.
Is it become a two-horse race now? Is everybody else just bystanders? I'm thinking especially Nintendo.
I mean, you can never count Nintendo out because they pull some surprises. I mean, all they have to do is release a Zelda or a Mario game, of which they have both coming out this season. And, you know, they're still in it because that's the only place you can go to play Donkey Kong and Mario and all Zelda, all those kind of things. So they got a Mario World 2 coming out or whatever it's called that, you know, it'll sell a bajillion copies.
So they're not dead yet, but they're lower margin. They're not as they just aren't in the same space, are they?
Well, it's hard to say that because, I mean, the Wii sold more units than Xbox 360 or the PlayStation 3. So, you know what I mean? Like, it sold 100 million units.
But they haven't followed on with anything with it.
Well, I think it's just lack of software for the Wii U. I mean, the Wii U is interesting. It's just, let's see if we can get some, you know, killer titles that people go, wow, now I need this. That's all. So we'll see.
So so as far as games themselves go, is there anything that we should be really keeping our eye on before Christmas?
Before Christmas, I mean, for the PlayStation, you got Killzone and Knack are the two big titles. Mm-hmm. And then for Xbox, it's Rise, Dead Rising 3, maybe Killer Instinct if you like that, and Forza 5 for racing. And then you have all of your ones that cross-platform, like Battlefield 4 and Call of Duty Ghosts, Assassin's Creed, Need for Speed Rivals, NBA, FIFA, these kind of things. They're on both. So tons of titles, obviously. This is the time to be a gamer, is right now.
And the whole Kinect idea, is that going to introduce a different type of gaming into the Xbox world that's much more like the Wii type of gaming?
I mean, I think everyone understands now that people don't like flailing their arms around while they're playing video games. Mm-hmm. So I think there's better and smart ways to use something like a Kinect. And whether it's one example of that they said is that the Kinect will know who has the controller. So you pass your controller to your friend. It knows that now Jay has the controller, and it'll change the options. If you like inverted axis or whatever in your controller setup, it'll change it automatically because it knows you have the controller.
Okay, that's
interesting. So that's something that the Kinect can do that doesn't necessarily, you know, talk about gameplay specific, but it helps you with your game.
And of course, the Kinect also becomes an incredible interface for Skype.
Skype and any kind of voice commands. Imagine games in which you could yell commands to your units or whatever it is in your game, right? You could
actually for football games and stuff like that, for audibling or...
It's all possible, right?
Pretty fascinating stuff. So are you buying both?
I am. I totally am. I can't wait. I love games.
Yeah. So and as soon as they come out, so we can talk to you in about a month, and you'll have hands-on experience, but you won't have any sleep. You won't have slept at all.
Correct. Yes. Correct.
Now, Jay, before we let you go, our audience knows you fairly well from listening to you, but they probably don't know about the secret life of Jay Cormier, which is as the board game designer. Tell us what board games you've got coming out for Christmas.
Yeah, so I have Belfort has been a big hit for us, and it's a big strategy game with elves and dwarves, and we have our first expansion is actually hitting this Christmas called Belfort, the expansion. And that's going to – I'm really excited about that one because I've never had an expansion come out before.
And where do people find that game?
Well, you kind of have to go to like a gamery store, like not your Toys R Us and stuff like that. We're not that big yet, but like a niche game store. If you can find one in your town, that okay. would be ideal.
And online, can you send me a link where people can look for it online?
Absolutely.
That's good stuff. And so is Christmas time. Are you hoping Christmas is going to be big for the board gaming market?
I really hope so. I mean, I see board gaming. Some people see it as old, like Sori, Monopoly, that kind of stuff. But the new wave of gamings that are coming in is growing every single year.
It's good stuff. Jay, thanks for your update on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Again, Microsoft bewilders me with their naming convention. It's the third one. Why are they calling it one? I know why they're calling it one, but my gosh, come on. They should have called it Xbox Explorer, right?
That's right. Jay, this is not called the Xbox Zoom.
Oh my gosh, you got it. Jay Cormier, thanks so much for your time. We're going to take a quick break and return with more of Dottotech in just a few seconds.
So I never did ask you, Art, which of the... Are you going to get a console game? Are you a console gamer?
I would say from about 10 years
old.
Can we
do this again? Sorry. So Art, I never have. Actually, I don't know this about you. Are you a gamer?
From about 10 years old till 18, you could not find me anywhere but television and with a controller in my hand. And then I kind of just fell off. I had a PlayStation I was gifted a PlayStation when I was about 25, and I played for about a month and then fell off the wagon. I play games on my phone.
So you're not super excited about the Xbox or the PlayStation 4?
I look all the time, and I see them at you know, Future Shop or at London Drugs, and I'm thinking, you know what? I could find myself doing this again.
But then, you don't. Yeah.
I'm worried.
You're worried you might lose yourself into a vortex of lost time.
Yeah, I could lose my relationship, my work, everything. Uh-huh. I don't got time to spend.
Yeah, you know, I've been kind of in the last 2 weeks. I've been a little bit immersed in this whole thing because a week and a half ago, I did a podcast or I did an online show. There's a young man. He's got a show called Linus Tech Tips. And he's got like 500,000 followers on YouTube. This guy is huge. And he puts on a weekly show on Friday nights. And he has like 5,000 people watch it online. And they comment. But they're like super deep in the gaming world. Like they're talking video cards. And they're talking liquid cooling for their video card. These guys are hardcore gamers. And so
I'm guessing not a lot of women watching this.
I don't know. I don't know if there's a lot of women. I don't think there's a lot of women on it. But there's also not a lot of guys that were turning 55 on it. And they had me on last week on the show. And it was my first time on with them. And he kind of likes me because he remembers watching the TV show when he was a kid.
So you're retro, is what you're saying.
I'm part of the history of the medium, I guess. But so I was on the show, and I got to tell you, you know, the things that they were talking about, the questions he was asking me about the video games, and you know, some of the details, I'm like, I don't know, it was beyond me. But the side chatter of these kids, like you know, they were kids 12 to 15 years old and young adults and. But the chatter about having this old dude talking to them about Xbox, and I spent most of my time actually talking about the kind of the old days of the computer industry, but it was really quite humorous, and I got disparaged in a lot of different ways in this online. It didn't bother me at all, actually. I kind of had fun with it. And lots of people, you know, started to follow me on Twitter and followed us on YouTube as a result, and a lot of people reached out and said, "Hey, I kind of lost touch with you. It was good to hear about you again." So that was kind of fun, but it was it's definitely that there is a subculture of console gamers that are ardent, and my goodness, they are some pumped over the next couple of weeks.
Well, I think the video game world peaked when it was the thumb pad and the two buttons on the Nintendo NES.
Oh, that's it. I was never a Nintendo. I loved the original Xbox. I loved the original Xbox One. I got that and brought it home. My son was at an age where we could play together, and we worked our way through Halo, and just it was a good bonding father-son experience. We did that for the first three Halo games till he was well into his 20s.
That's probably the part of the reason why I fell off the gaming wagon was because the controllers, I don't have that kind of coordination. I think that's the problem.
Now, I need to give people a bit of an update in what's happening in our Dotto world over the next week or so. I'm actually on my way to Kamloops in Kelowna. I'm heading up tomorrow to Kamloops. I'm speaking for the social media camp people in Kamloops, and then on Wednesday in Kelowna. Then we bomb back here, and we've got App Wednesday on Thursday next week. So we're going to be doing App Thursday, App Wednesday, Thursday, whatever we're going to call it. So that's next week.
Okay.
Okay, you down with that?
Oh, yeah.
And all of next week, I have a series of 5 free webinars that people can attend. If you want to know what my favorite 7 free productivity apps are, go to dottotech.com or dottotech.com/7apps and register for this webinar. I'm going to be showing there are 7 tools that I use every single day. If you're going to wonder what the geeks use, this is what the geeks use. This is what this geek uses. My 7 favorite productivity apps, and not one of them will cost you a penny.
Did I discover any of these apps for you?
No. They were none of the ones that were in App Wednesday or anything like that. And they're apps not just for your phone, but they're also apps that you use on your computer. They're full applications.
Because I was just hoping for like a footnote.
But you haven't actually discovered very many productivity apps. I mean, you gravitate towards water apps.
Which should have won that month?
Yeah. It shouldn't. It didn't win. It didn't win. Hey,
how many people can
it's
survive?
November. We should make a plan right now for our December App Wednesday on Thursday show.
Yes.
Should be our annual
App of the Year?
App of the Year. We're going to do App of the Year. We're making a call right now. This is advanced network broadcast strategy.
This is
being
a show
played out right before our audience.
Show. This is brainstorming, is what
yes.
they call it.
We are going to have App of the Year. And I got to figure out a better way to decide on the winner for App of the Year. Maybe December. Maybe the month of December should be a progression towards App of the Year. Maybe we should think about doing that. And then, you know, we'll have some other features. We'll talk about, you know, Christmas gifts and that sort of stuff. But it might be something that we have to do over a couple of episodes in December.
Okay.
Because it would be, and there should be a great grand prize. The grand prize should be.
Oh, there's no prizes for regular. So
yeah, there is now.
Prize.
Yeah, we do the Rome Mobility.
Right.
People win the just because you haven't won since there's been prizes.
Well, I mean, I think I've been cheated out of it, but whatever.
Yeah,
I'm not here to judge. I'm merely just a servant to the Dotto Tech world.
That's okay. We can accept that, and we're happy with that. I need to thank our guests. I need to thank Michael Stelzner for joining us and giving us some great ideas about being better parents. Jay Cormier for joining us and talking about the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. And Maury McLaughlin from London Drugs, which made for a very interesting conversation about recycling. I actually think that those guys at LD have done just a terrific job in that space. You can tell they're corporately committed to it. So
people should remember this for Boxing Day when they need to get
rid
of all of their
That's
Christmas
why we're doing
stuff.
It now is to start so we don't not think about it last minute, but now start making it a habit of dealing with your recycling in a slightly different way. It's a good thing. So that's it, Art. We should wrap things up. That's it. So next week, App Wednesday on Thursday, I'm Steve Dotto on behalf of all my guests and Art Factor. We will see you next week right here on Dotto Tech.
Dotto Tech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.